take a look at the back of your bulletin. Did you notice what was happening in the Old Testament reading? People forgot who God is. Creator, maker, provider, leader of his people. And as they doubted that identity of who God is, it also then redefined the relationship between God and his people. People at that time then became more self-absorbed, self-focused. And they used their energies, their thinking, and even their time of worship was more about self than it was about God. The lowest understanding and faith in who God is brings out the lowest expectations of God. Think about it. In the New Testament, in the gospel reading, especially like last Sunday, when Jesus is teaching, and they're all pondering, well, what in the blue blazes is this? You know, he teaches as one who has authority. And their expectations at that time of the priest and the scribes and the elders, it wasn't very high. And it created a problem for those who were trying to figure out the issues and the solutions of life and death. And then we come to today's gospel reading. Jesus has left the temple after all this teaching, and he goes and he goes to Simon Peter's house. And there we learn quickly that they shared with Jesus that Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Specifically, she had a fever. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, you have to remember Luke is the physician, okay? Luke says it's a great fever. What we would call a high fever. You know, you go to the doctor and you're sick, and your temperature is just a little bit higher over than what is it supposed to be, 98.6. And some people run a little low on an average, and some people are a little higher on an average. But, you know, if you're at 100, you know, we don't get too excited. But what happens if your temperature's at 106? Or if it goes higher than that? Well, what begins to happen is we become delusional. We're often in a high-grade fever. You're not going to be in your right frame of thinking, your right frame of mind. And you feel awful. Now, we don't have a temperature reading in any of the Gospels of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, but we just know that it's a high fever. And then, if you look closely, what did Jesus do when he healed her? And the language is specific here. As you look at the gospel reading, it says, and he grasped her. What do you think that means? There's a translation that says he lifted her up, you know, simply offered his hand in that way. But to offer the hand in the Greek language makes more action on the person that you're offering your hand to. It's like offering your hand for a handshake. Well, I reached out to shake their hand, but they didn't reach out to me, so, you know, there you go. Or if they do respond, then you shake hands. But this language is more specific that he grasped her. She didn't grasp him. She didn't reach for him. He reached for her, took a hold of her, and lifted her up. And look what the gospel reading says. Verse 31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. It is Jesus who takes a hold of her. He's not afraid of human contact. He's not afraid of, like, what's going around now with the measles and the flu. You know, well, don't touch me, or, you know, we'll bump elbows. I just coughed on my hand, you know. You know, the safe things to do. Or Jesus didn't first say, whoops, here, let me get some hand sanitizer, you know, right after I touch you, you know, kind of thing. Because nothing has power and authority over him. He's not afraid of what she has because it can do him no harm. God, who is the greatest, the creator of all, God, who is marvelous and wonderful, and God who does miracles in the Old Testament, is now God in the flesh, Christ our Lord. And I know it's a mystery and we don't fully comprehend it, but think about it. If all we look at is Jesus is a man, the rabbi, the teacher, the prophet, the spokesperson, then we start to have the lowest expectations of what can happen. What can become of this Jesus of Nazareth? And yet it tells us in today's reading that when casting out demons, he did not let the demons talk, because they knew who he was. They knew he was God in the flesh. In fact, there's a time where the demon says that. What do you have to do with us? You know, and he's called the Son of God. And he knew, Jesus knew that the people weren't all ready for this. In the fullness, for he still had to go a long journey yet, all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb, and then rise again. That had yet to be accomplished. Even speaking of it to Peter, you know, and Peter hears this news about the Son of Man must, you know, suffer and die and then rise again in 3 days, and using our kind of language, Peter says, over my dead body, you know, that's just not going to happen. You see, the expectations of Peter about Jesus, I would say they were high, but they still weren't high enough. And so Jesus comes into this house, and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He takes her, lifts her up, pulls her up, and the fever is gone. He's the one that is the authority of the Word, because he is the Word, and he is the one authority over creation, because he is the Word at creation in Genesis chapter 1. He is the authority over disease and suffering and all kinds of illnesses, and therefore the fever is gone. Without a verbal command, fever, leave, you know, he doesn't have to coax it away. But just by his very lifting her out of that state of illness, he restores her. Now here's the other part of the theme for this morning, the highest response. Think about it. How many times in the scriptures were people healed? I mean, lots, okay? One of the most famous texts is, you know, the lepers, the 10 of them. And only one comes back to give thanks. The lowest expectations of who he is also produces the lowest response of who we are. In this case, Simon Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Now, if she had low expectations and she did not believe that Jesus is Lord, then she would get up and do what she wanted to do. But instead, because of who Christ is and the restoration that's given her, she gets up and serves them. Instead of thinking of self, she serves the Lord and those with him. Now, I want you to think about it. Think of a time when you were sick and you were stuck at home and you got that thing we call cabin fever, all right? And the longer that illness went, you say, boy, I can't wait to get, you know, feel better, because then I'm going to. And then you had a list of what you couldn't wait to do. And how often those things were more about self. I had pneumonia my senior year in high school for 3 months. November, December, and January. My parents were ready to rent a hotel room for me because I would drive them nuts. I could not wait to get well. It wasn't that I wanted to go to school. Okay, I wasn't excited about going to school. I was excited about getting out of the house. I was excited about talking to friends. I was excited about doing whatever I could do. I was excited if Dad would give me the car keys. You know, those were the things I wanted to do. But I wasn't excited about getting well to pick up my laundry, you know, and put it in the right basket for my mom, or to do the dishes after supper. I wasn't excited about getting up and serving. I mean, who in their right mind does that? But I wanted to do what I wanted to do. When we, by faith, live for Christ, think about it. We live for him. Paul writes about that in the epistles. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And my want list and my to-do list starts to change. The less I think of God as being almighty and Lord and giver and provider of everything, the less I'm likely to want to serve him and do for him how God has equipped me to do. And we're not all equipped in the same way, but that's okay. But we are restored by the same power. Today, just a little bit ago, you confessed your sins. Think about how sin, like a fever, holds us hostage. It confuses our thinking, you know? When you're sinful, how's your thinking? I know what mine's like. I'm not going to go into detail, but I know what it's like. Okay? I'm not asking you to blurt it out right now. What is your mind like when you're sinful? Is it godly? No. Is it pleasant? No. Is it thinking of others? No. So what happens when the absolution is proclaimed after the confession of sins is that, in a sense, Christ has grasped you again, right? And restored you as his own. He picks you up out of that bondage to sin because we can't free ourselves. And there he restores us in our soul. Now, personally, I still have allergies. Some of you have arthritis, right? And we can name the physical things that we still may be battling this morning. But think about, which is the greatest thing that holds you hostage? Is it the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit? The more we think God is about the flesh for healing, for taking away the measles, the flu, the common cold, the pneumonia, the, you know, whatever ails you, if we start to lower God as only the physical restorer, we have missed the greatest expectation of all. And as we miss the greatest expectation, then our response also lowers. And the woman got up and served him. She was lifted up out of her condition in body and soul to serve the Lord. And you and I, in the proclamation of the forgiveness of our sins, we may still have physical ailments, but we are free to get up and serve the Lord. And we may do that in our parenting. We may do that in our worship. We may do it in Sunday school teaching this morning or participating as a choir member in the second service. We may serve the Lord in a multitude of ways, but it is a response pattern that we who live in Christ have the greatest expectations of the greatest God ever, the only God. And it lifts us up out of low expectations of ourselves. The woman got up and thought of others. How often, and we could have included this in our confession, how often we've been made well only to think of self. Jesus, the next morning, after an evening, I imagine a long evening, it doesn't tell us how many hours, of healing one after another, of physical diseases, all kinds of diseases, and then casting out demons. And those two are not synonymous. Demons are real, and illness is real. And Jesus heals and frees people from their illness, and he restores people by casting out the demons and frees them from that. And then he got some rest, and then the next morning he goes out to a quiet place, desolate is the word, and he prays. And the others come and find him. And he recognizes this truth, that if all Jesus ever did to be born of Mary, to live and to heal and to cast out demons, people would miss the greatest message of all, that he came to seek and save that which was lost by him being the actual gospel, the good news of our salvation, that going to the cross, he would suffer and die in our place. He would take that which holds us hostage from getting up and serving the Lord, living because of the Lord, living for the Lord. And he recognizes, as he does many times, and he tells us in the scriptures, you know, he came for more than just as a healer. He came to restore. And the greatest restoration is not when I'm healed physically, although I have to say I greatly appreciate it when it happens, okay? But it's the fact that my sins are forgiven, the debt is paid, and he restores me in the promise, the comfort, and the hope of everlasting life. And that is a power by faith, in that sense, the power of faith holds on to that. And it gets each one of us up from being lazy and casual and kind of nonchalant about our walk with Christ, that like Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we get up and we focus on serving. Our mission statement for Here at Grace about bringing people to Christ by bringing Christ to the people is just that. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been restored in body and soul in a spiritual way. And now we get up and we serve by taking Christ into the community, by sharing Christ in our relationships, by speaking of him. But if we go back to the Old Testament, the lower we bring God, God's only for the times of desperation. God is only for the time I'm in the foxhole. Remember how they used to say there's no atheists in foxholes? You know, because everybody's praying then, you know. If God is only for the time of when you're in your third week of pneumonia, you know, if God is only then our response becomes lower to him as well. The joy of this gospel is she served. She was restored to serve. And you have been too. Your sins are forgiven, so that your heart and your mind is renewed in Christ Jesus. The typical thinking of our humanity today is like a high fever. It confuses us. It plays with those gray cells in our brain. But yet, the forgiveness of sins restores us. Because we know that because he lived and lives, we live. We live for the Lord. And it brings out a marvelous response. We've seen it here many times again, how people serve the Lord. The greatness of God brings a great response. It's in your life. Amen.